Well, this morning we find ourselves in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. And Matthew 25, it's a parable that talks about wasted potential and neglected responsibility. And it is one of the more familiar passages, one of the more familiar parables that Jesus tells. Now, the context of Matthew 25, of the parable of the talents, is put around the second coming of Christ. In other words, what this parable is asking us to do, what it's compelling us to do, is to make the most of the time we have as we wait for the Lord's return. It is about being good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. And so let us scripture this morning. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account on how they used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." Master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, and so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let us celebrate together." The servant who received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. Now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let us celebrate together." And then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I know you are a harsh man, harvesting plants, crops that you did not plant, and gathering crops you did not cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least then I would have received interest on it." And then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what they have will be taken away." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So again, I want to remind you of the context of this passage, right? Time is getting short, and we must prepare ourselves for Jesus' return. This account, the parable of the talents, is not about money. It is about how we use what God has entrusted us until he returns. Now let's take a look at some of the truths we can glean from this passage. First of all, we have all of us has been given a treasure. God gives each one of his children gifts which allow us to serve him. And these gifts are not going to be the same. We're told that the man divided up the gifts according to the abilities of his servants. In other words, God entrusts us with gifts that are appropriate for us, for how he made us. You know, Paul in Corinthians uses this analogy about a human body. And he says, each part of the body has a specific role. That not everybody is an eye, nor is everybody an ear. That if the intestines that God has given us, if our intestines stop working, then the rest of the body is at risk. If our pancreas stops working, our body is at risk. And the list goes on and on, right? It is not the nature of the amount of the gift. The man entrusted his servants with large sums of money, did not expect the same return from each person. The master was simply looking for a return. You know, anytime we begin talking about gifts and abilities, there's always somebody who comes up and says, "You know, I don't have any gifts." And I think they'd say that because we have made it way too complicated. Paul said that God gives each one of us a spiritual gift. And over the years, people have written books, and they've developed inventories, they've distributed checklists, all for the purpose of us trying to be able to identify their gift from God. And as a result, we have tried to stuff our unique personalities and talents into some category that tends to make us feel uncomfortable and out of place. I think this is why so many people don't feel like they have a spiritual gift, or why they're hesitant to do everything, because they don't understand themselves. Now, Paul's comments on the spiritual gifts weren't made to make us introspective, looking at how our lives somehow fit into a list of categories. What Paul is trying to communicate is that God makes each and every one of us different, because there's a lot of different needs in the church. You know, we are doing exactly what Paul is trying to prevent. You've got to fit into this category. And God says, no, it's too big, it's too vast. He's not trying to give us a grid in which we could plot our spiritual gifts. He's trying to show us that each and every one of us, God has given us unique skills and personalities and interests that we can use to build up the kingdom of God. And Paul is simply saying, Matthew is simply saying, to use what you have been given for the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes this. He says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast of it. For we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Right? We are saved by God's grace. We are saved by God's gift, which is Christ dying for us. Right? We acknowledge that none of us can earn salvation. None of us deserve salvation. It is a free gift from God. Right? It isn't something we do. But then this is what Paul says next. He says that he has created us anew in Christ so that we can do the good things that he has planned for us. Because a person saved, right, the person who has salvation will begin to live differently. Right? Because when we have Christ in our lives, we will be different. That may not happen all at once. It may be a gradual thing. But when we have Christ in our lives, we will begin to look for ways to glorify God in our lives. Right? And this proves the genuineness of our faith. I think the Lord rejects spectator Christianity. You know, spectator Christianity, where there are certain people who are called to it, and then there are other people who are simply there to support and encourage. You know, yesterday was a great example of that. Right? Summer's Last Blast. Summer's Last Blast was the combined efforts of a lot of people. You know, everybody came. They brought food. They brought desserts. They brought side dishes. You know, we enjoyed fellowship together. People cooked and served and organized. And a bunch of ordinary people, right? There weren't any spiritual superstars. Just people using their gifts in a way to glorify God. And I think the same could be said for what happens at Vacation Bible School, or Makers Camp, or when we serve on a committee, or when we sing in a choir, or play in a choir. Simply using our gifts for God's glory. Right, the point of the parable is that we are to use whatever gift we have been given to bring a dividend to God's kingdom. We are to do whatever we can, whether it's great or small, public or private, common or unique, to bring growth to fellow believers, to care for the broken and the hurting, and to point people to Jesus as often as we can do so. In the parable of the talents, the owner commends the one who doubled the five and the one who doubled the two. Right? They were faithful to what they had been given. And church, that's the measurement God's going to use. God isn't going to measure your life against mine. He's not going to measure my life against yours. He's simply going to say, what did you do with the gifts I've given you? What did you do with your uniqueness and your talents? Now, sadly, this isn't the way our world seems to function. Our world is always like, bigger is better. We want more. We want bigger. We want shinier. But this isn't the way of God. Right? All God asks of us is to be faithful where he has placed us. If God brings you bigger opportunities, then serve him well. If he brings you smaller responsibilities, then serve him well. This is what God cares about. I shared in first service, there was at my first church, 25 years ago. And each one of the windows were those little candlestick lights. And I noticed, and sometimes it takes me a long time to notice things, but I noticed that none of them were ever burnt out. And there were a lot of windows. And it took me about 3 years, and I finally found the person that was something that was meaningful to them. And so they made sure every week, every time they were in church, every time they passed the church, that if they ever saw one of those little bitty light bulbs burned out, they would change them so that they were always well lit. Didn't do it for public praise. They simply did this for God. Another one of the, aspects of church life that we don't pay attention to is the sound person. The sound person is here every week. Merle is here just about every week. Back there. And we don't know what Merle does. Merle could be back there making a, bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. None of us would know it. He's shaking his head. The only time we notice Merle is when, there's no sound and there's a problem. And that's when everybody turns around. But when Merle is doing his best job, nobody notices him. And he's simply serving because that's how God's gifted him. He understands that stuff. I go back to that soundboard and I see all those switches and levers and knobs. I would be dangerous because I would just start messing with it. And Merle understands that, right? That's God's unique gifting in Merle, and he does a wonderful job with that. And I think there's something incredibly liberating about this, right? There's no reason for us to ever feel inadequate because we can't do what someone else can do. I would love to play the piano. I think it's great. I love listening to Carol play. I can play chopsticks badly, but I don't have to feel bad because we have a Carol. We have beautiful music. And so I can let that rest. I don't have to think I have to do what she does because she does it well. God simply wants us to use our unique circumstances, our unique abilities to honor him and to point others to him. When Paul talks about spiritual gifts, he tells us to desire the greater gifts. Is he really asking us to rank gifts? Or is it possible that he is simply encouraging us to look for ways to honor God, to serve God more fully and more significantly? In other words, it's a call to not become complacent, to continue to grow, to continue to serve, to look for new ways to serve and honor the Lord. There's an old and wise saying that says, you will never see what you can do until you are willing to risk failure. All too often, what the world might call failure, God calls faith. And God might be asking us to take a step of faith into a ministry, into a new idea, to risk for the glory of God. So how do we do this, right? How do we practically, you know, use what we've been given in a way that honors God? I think first of all, we need to learn to think differently, right? Instead of looking around, waiting for some great opportunity, serve God with the opportunities that are right before you. Stop looking for the grand things and start doing the little things, the daily things, the common things for the glory of God. Secondly, I think we can learn to think creatively about ministry. You know, ask the simple question, how can I serve and honor the Lord in what I am already doing? Whether it is in medicine or education, athletics, sales, or whatever else, look for ways to honor Him. And we can do this in so many ways. Right? You might be a person who loves to travel, loves to experience new cultures, and so maybe God is calling you to short-term missions. Maybe God wants you to use your love of the internet to start a blog or to communicate on Facebook daily God's love for others. You know, maybe you're like Merle and you have this love for technology, you have a love for audio files, and so you want to serve the church and make sure that sound is amplified and that it even goes beyond these four walls. You know, Nancy Herman, I talked with her this past week, and you know, she watches the service. She's at home watching our service. And it's because we have people who are interested, who have the gift of being able to do that. You know, maybe you're a person who is gifted at bringing comfort or encouragement. We've got so many people in our church who are shut in and at home. And you could bring that gift of comfort and encouragement to them. You know, let God lead you to what you can do for Him right where you're at, right where you do things. And thirdly, I would say to take action. You know, when you love somebody, often go out of your way to find a way to demonstrate your love for that person. And you might even go to extravagant circumstances. You know, make it a daily challenge to look for the simple or look for the extravagant ways that you can demonstrate your love for the Lord. Can you think of any better way than any better thing than standing before the Lord on the day of judgment? And you look at God and you see Him smile, and He says to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy. Because you had been faithful with what God has given you in the time God has given you here on this earth." You know, church, this is just a whole different way of simply saying, God, help me to deny myself, to take up your cross, and to follow after you today. You know, where can I be used? Where can I serve you? Where can I honor you? Where can I make your love known? Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us today. We are grateful for your kindness and your mercy, Lord. Again, we are grateful for your promises. Lord, we pray for all those folks who came last night to Summer's Last Blast, that, Lord, they would have experienced your love and that they would feel a tug on their heart to come to church. And Lord, we pray that you would foster that feeling, and that when we see someone new, Lord, that we would welcome them in. Now help us, Jesus, to look for all the different ways that we can be your hands and your feet. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.